I'm Pastor Kerry Willis, and I welcome you to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks.
And I'm Grayson Willis. We're so glad that you've joined us today. We pray that today's broadcast will be a half hour of hope for your life.
And with that, we welcome you to the season of hope. Yes, Advent. Advent is upon us. And Advent simply means, and profoundly means, that we're anticipating. We're anticipating the arrival of Messiah, who is the Savior of the world. Now, of course, that's what the Christmas season's all about. It's remembering that God sent His one and only Son to bring hope to our hopeless situation. And so Advent is that season that leads up to Christmas Day, where we anticipate the goodness that God has brought our way through His baby boy, the baby He's really given to us. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And so the idea is that we have hope this season of the year especially. And we want to have a couple songs today to kind of go into the season. We're going to begin with a song by our friend Jim Cole. And I'll let Grayson introduce the name of the song. And after we've listened to it together, it's a beautiful original Christmas song right from the scriptures. After we've listened to this, we're going to talk a little bit about the season of Advent. And we're going to close with a wonderful song by our friend Brian Arner at the very end, a song that is probably a top favorite of especially Jesus believers, and that song is O Holy Night. So we hope you'll be with us for the full 30 minutes today. We believe there's a lot of hope coming our way.
Here is Jim Cole and his song, Unto Us a Child is Born.
Every heart there is a hope to know as we are known. Deep calls to deep and calls us on. Though bruised and battered in a fall, we strain to catch a name. Whose image have we all been framed? None to us, now in darkness by our own hand, a child is born in a stable in Bethlehem. The Lord is come. Child, the lion, now a lamb, who was and is the great I am. He shall be called our counselor, our wisdom and our peace, the light who bids our shadows see. Unto us, now in darkness by our own hand, a child is born in a stable in Bethlehem. The Lord is come. Unto us, now in darkness by our own hand, child is born in a stable in Bethlehem. The Lord is come.
that is the message of Christmas. Unto us a child is born. I love Christmas music, and I love new Christmas music. That's a new Christmas song, but written from the old pages of the Bible, the prophecy that a child would be born to us, a child who would save us from our sins. And that is the message of Christmas. So I'm grateful to Jim Cole for writing that song and for allowing us to play it here on Front Porch Talks. It really does roll right into the Advent season. Unto us a child is born. It reminds me of a favorite devotional that I have. It's a book called Streams in the Desert. It was originally printed in 1925 by Mrs. Kalman. And the reason I'm familiar with the book is because my mom, Melba, whose testimony recently played here on Front Porch Talks, she's been a believer for 50 years now. She cut her spiritual teeth on this beautiful devotional book by Mrs. Charles Kalman, Streams in the Desert. And today I want to read right out of the book the devotional for December 25th, which is Christmas Day. So we're kind of jumping ahead a little, but it's Advent. And I want us to get an idea of where we're going during this season of anticipation when we believe the arrival of Jesus to planet Earth changed everything eternally for us. And I want to think about it the way Ms. Kalman gives it to us. She begins with Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23 from the New Testament of the Holy Bible. She takes these words for her devotional thoughts. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then she also reaches back to Isaiah 9 and chapter 6, where Jesus, the Messiah who would be born of the Virgin, a child born to us, is referred to by this title, Prince of Peace. So with these scriptures in mind, these thoughts, let me read what Mrs. Kalman has written. There's a song in the air, there's a star in the sky, there's a mother's deep prayer and a baby's low cry, and the star rains its fire while the beautiful sing, for the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. A number of years ago, a remarkable Christmas card was published by the title, If Christ Had Not Come. It was based on our Savior's own words in John 15, verse 22, If I had not come. The card pictured a minister falling asleep in his study on Christmas morning and then dreaming of a world into which Jesus had never come. In his dream, he saw himself walking through his house, but as he looked, he saw no stockings hung on the chimney, no Christmas tree, no wreaths of holly, and no Christ to comfort and gladden hearts or to save us. He then walked onto the street outside, but there was no church with its spire pointing toward heaven. And when he came back and sat down in his library, he realized that every book about our Savior had disappeared. The minister dreamed that the doorbell rang and that a messenger asked him to visit a friend's poor dying mother. He reached her home, and as his friend sat and wept, he said, I have something here that will comfort you. However, he opened his Bible to look for a familiar promise, but it ended with Malachi, the Old Testament. There was no gospel and no promise of hope and salvation, and all he could do was bow his head and weep with his friend and his mother in bitter despair. 2 days later, he stood beside her coffin and conducted her funeral service, but there was no message of hope, no words of a glorious resurrection, and no thought of a mansion awaiting her in heaven. There was only dust to dust and ashes to ashes and one long eternal farewell. Finally, he realized that Christ had not come and burst into tears, weeping bitterly in his sorrowful dream. Then suddenly he awoke with a start and a great shout of joy, and praise burst from his lips as he heard his choir singing these words in his church nearby. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of Angels. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Let us be glad and rejoice today, because he has come. And let us remember the proclamation of the angel. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. He comes to make his blessing flow, far as the curse is found. May our hearts go out to the unconverted people of foreign lands who have no blessed Christmas day. Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Those words from Nehemiah 8 and verse 10. And so Miss Kalman recounts this story, Grayson, of a pastor who had this dream that Christ had not been born. And I'll tell you, buddy, that will subtract the good news from our life very quickly. Can you imagine, Grayson, a world where Jesus had not come as a babe in a manger to be our Savior on a cross, to be our Lord out of the tomb? Can you even imagine? We wouldn't even be able to start our program with our slogan, which is, we pray that today's broadcast will be a half hour of hope for your life. There would be no hope. So, Grayson, when you think about these thoughts that Mrs. Kalman has penned and the thoughts that we've shared so far, what kind of things would you like to tell us about?
Well, it's hard to imagine, Dad, but certainly if we try to imagine it, it would be something like what was described in that devotional that you read from Streams in the Desert. And like you said, there wouldn't be any hope. And not only would we not be able to start our program with "Today we hope," our program is a half hour of hope for your life, but I don't think we'd have a program at all if Jesus had never come. We would have no reason to do a program, because that's what our program is based off, is the Word of God. And certainly if His Son had never come, then I don't think we would have a reason to do a program, because that's the reason we do our program, is to give hope, to share the hope of the gospel.
Exactly, Grayson. Jesus is hope. You take Jesus out of the world we live in, there would be no such thing as hope. And so we're so glad that as we begin this Advent season, that we can truly be people who proclaim the good news: unto us a child is born. He's been born. You know, I've heard it said that God came down the staircase of heaven carrying His bouncing baby boy. The darling of heaven, God's only begotten Son, God's one and only Son. And He said, "I will sacrifice my Son in order to give hope to the rest of my children, to bring them home again, to restore the relationship that is broken by sin." And so we remember today that we have anticipation. Now, one thing we want to remember is this, and I'll get at it in a little bit of a story from my own life. The first year that I went to the Holy Land, it was the year 2000, and I was standing there at the Western Wall, sometimes called the Wailing Wall. It's the most sacred location for Judaism in the world, and I was standing there and watching people put prayers in the bricks and people just to pray in all kinds of manner there, and my heart was moved. And I remember looking at my guide. His name was Dr. Randy Smith, and I said, "Brother Randy, tell me, do you know what the people mainly come to this wall to pray about?" He said, "Well, of course, it's like anywhere else. There are many prayers, but there are two prayers that they pray here mainly, over and over. And if you were to get close and listen, or you were to pull prayers out of that wall, you would find these two prayers very often. The first prayer was that there would be peace in Jerusalem. So they pray for the peace of Jerusalem. This is commanded to us in the Old Testament, that we would pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The second prayer," he said, they are praying that Messiah will come. And my heart just broke within me, and I said, "Wow, I wish I could just take a microphone and a sound system and stand here with tenderness and say, I have good news for you. Messiah has come, and He is coming again." But of course, the Orthodox Jew does not believe that Christ was Messiah, and so they are still living in a Messiah-less world. They do not have yet their King and Savior in their mindset. And I would just love to preach good news with a tender heart, with the Holy Spirit helping me, to say, your Messiah has come. His name is Jesus Christ, and He is coming again. So, Grayson, when we think about this idea of a world where Christ had not come, then, of course, we wouldn't have the hope of Christ coming a second time, the second coming. So when you think about the coming of Jesus the first time as a babe in a cradle born of the Virgin Mary, and then you think of King Jesus coming back in the second coming, do you see some parallels, or do you have some thoughts that come to your mind when you just paint that picture?
Well, certainly There was excitement when they heard about his birth in Bethlehem, and even the wise men made their way to go see him, and the shepherds made their way to go see him. And there was a star in the sky that showed the place where he was born. It was over the place where he was born. And hopefully we have the same anticipation, the same excitement, the same readiness, so to speak, for his second coming as maybe he came to some quietly the first time humbly, as he was born in a stable. There was no room for him, and he had to be born out where the animals were kept. But certainly we will just think about his second coming and be ready for his second coming, maybe more so than they were ready for his first coming. And we will recognize him when he comes back, how you mentioned the Jews didn't recognize him or didn't accept him as their Savior and Messiah when he came the first time. So hopefully we will recognize him when he comes the second time.
Exactly. And we should be waiting with anticipation for the Messiah to make his return. Our Savior, the Jewish Messiah, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ is his name. I want to read a little bit from a devotional writing that I put together a few years ago. It's back in 2012, and I gave copies out to our local church, Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. People seem to appreciate it, and I have one here in my hand now. I'm going to read the devotional in this particular book titled, The Boy Brings Joy, A Jesus-Led Journey of Joy for December. And on the 9th of December, I wrote these words, waiting with anticipation, Jeremiah 29:11, God's Word Translation, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace and not disaster, plans to give you a future filled with hope. Those are five beautiful words there in the end, Grayson. A future filled with hope. Let me read the words I had written here. I must have been about 5 years old. Mom and Dad had given me permission to turn down the pages of our Christmas mail order catalogs. Finally, with my spending limit reached, I had successfully selected my gifts for old Saint Nick to deliver under our tree on Christmas. Indeed, I was caught in the thrill and throes of waiting with anticipation. It was an amazing feeling. What specifically was I anticipating? My most desired toy that year was a G.I. Joe with a space capsule. I remember going to bed on Christmas Eve with my heart about to explode with excitement. Waiting for my parents to deliver on their promises was the most certain reality of my childhood. I never gave one thought that the request on my gift list would not be delivered. While I had trouble falling asleep that night, I finally did, but awoke about 3 a.m. Quietly, I slipped out of my bed in my pajamas, grabbed my flashlight, and tiptoed as quickly and quietly as I could down the hallway and into the living room. The beam from my flashlight caused our Christmas tree to glisten like magic. Then I pointed the light towards the base of the tree, and there he was, G.I. Joe, in his tinfoil moon suit and seated inside the space capsule. My anticipation had been rewarded. Holding my treasures tightly, I returned to bed, but not to sleep. For hours, I played under the covers with my flashlight serving as the moon. Finally, I did doze off until daylight. My parents just smiled when they came into my room. It was a wonderful Christmas for this little boy. God's promises are now the most certain realities in my life. So, Grayson, that story, I want to make the transition that as good as my parents were, and my mom still is, my dad's going to be with Jesus, he's the best he's ever been. As good as my parents were, they're nothing compared to Father God. And when he promises us this verse, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace and not disaster, plans to give you a future filled with hope. We can know that this all began at Christmas to take fruition. It began to take form when Jesus was born. When you think about waiting with anticipation, Grayson, are there any thoughts about Christmas that you would like to add as we are entering this Advent season?
Well, certainly we celebrate Christmas to celebrate the birth of Christ and his first coming. And certainly we should never forget the true meaning for the season, the true reason for the season. And so that would be the first thing I would say. But I have great memories of Christmas also, Christmas past, whether it be spending time with family at the grandparents' house or, you know, getting different things. Like, I know I got a train with a whistle, and actually, I think you probably enjoyed that gift as much as I did.
Yeah, you had trouble playing it, man. I was enjoying the train, and I had you blow that wooden whistle while I played with the train.
But memories are good, and family is good, certainly spending time with family. But just making sure that we don't forget the true reason for the season and taking time to thank God for sending his only son, Jesus, to be born on this earth so that he may save us from our sins, to save us from death, eternal death, but instead to give us eternal life. Certainly that is something we don't want to forget to do this Christmas, this Advent season.
Exactly, Grayson. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he is Jesus Christ, the one and only Son of God, the only one who could come and save us by dying. It's amazing that the cross that he died on would become for us victory. Just an amazing thought. And this is a holy, holy, holy season. And certainly, that night in Bethlehem was a holy night. And so when you think about that night in Bethlehem, Grayson, what kind of stands out in your mind when you think about the shepherds coming after the angels had sung, and then eventually the wise men made it also to Bethlehem? What do you think about as this lowly couple from Nazareth, they've come now to the hometown of Joseph, Bethlehem, for the census was to be taken, and they find themselves in a private place, but a place where animals were mainly kept, and the Son of God is about to be born in this humble location. When you think about all of that, what kind of thoughts come into your heart and mind?
Well, I would think that Mary and Joseph would have to be, first of all, humbled by the situation that God chose them to be parents to Jesus, but also in all of what God did that night. And certainly the shepherds were in awe, I'm sure, and also blessed to be able to meet the Christ child on the night of his birth, and honored that God told them through the angels about the child's birth, and that they were able to be the first ones to be there to see the baby that night. So I'm sure it was very low key, not many people there. Mary and Joseph, the baby, some animals, and the shepherds. As we know, the wise men came a couple years later. But it was just, I'm sure, a quiet night, like the song says, a silent night. But a very, I'm sure, exciting and awe-inspiring night, I'm sure, for all that were there. So those are just some of my thoughts that I have about what that night might have been like for those that were there.
Yeah, it's good to try to just imagine what in the world that holy, holy, holy night was really like. But it was something to treasure, no doubt about that. And I cannot imagine what it was like for Mary and Joseph. It had to be beautiful. And they named the baby Jesus, which means he will save the people. And I think we should say definitely glory to God in the highest, because it was one holy night. Well, we pray that today's broadcast has indeed been a half hour of hope for your life. We pray that your Christmas season will be full of peace and joy and love. We know Christmas season is not always easy for everyone. There are strained relationships, health issues, economical pressures. But I want you to know that Grayson and I are praying today that you will receive the greatest present of Christmas. And it is the presence of that child who was born to be your Savior and our Savior. We just pray that you won't celebrate Christmas alone this year. If you don't have a local church, we invite you to Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. We're located at 1871 Boyers Road in Harrisonburg, Virginia. If you know where the hospital is, we're just a little bit east of the hospital in Harrisonburg area. We invite you to come. We have Sunday morning services at 9 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. in English. And then at noon, our Spanish service begins. On Christmas Eve, which is Sunday this year, we will be having a 10:30 a.m. English worship service in the morning, 10:30 a.m., the Spanish-speaking service at noon, and then that evening at 5 o'clock, Christmas Eve, we'll be having another worship service here as well. We just invite you, no intimidation, just an invitation. We ask you to come and consider joining us. Of course, if you can't, just stay close to frontporchtalks.com. You can get all these programs on the internet as well as WBTX. We pray this prayer, all joy to your world. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen now as we promised, as our friend Brian Arner belts out, Oh Holy Night.
Oh Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born, oh, night divine. The slave is our brother, and at His name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us raise His holy.
The broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.